Hi, everybody. How are you? San Francisco, how do you feel?
How's it going? Sorry about Omicron last year. We meant to be here, but we're glad we're all here now. No, like a week after this was supposed to happen, weren't they like, what are you doing year from now?
Yeah, they said, we're going to have to cancel this year's festival because of the surge. Are you free on the same dates next year? Do you mean 2 years from today? Yeah, we're free. The fact that Reggie Watts was able to make it is unfortunately a bait and switch that we pulled on you. He's not here, but we're so glad you are. No, he's here.
But Moshe did want to start off by asking you guys...
Oh, I have a question.
Seriously, though.
But wait, because I got a tweet. First of all, I wanted to say about our planning. We had flights to fly up here today.
And then we forgot we had dogs.
Yeah, we got up in the morning, looked at our dogs, and we're like, wait, who's watching the dogs?
We need to get our shit together.
So then we got in the car and we drove up here. So we just got to San Francisco, actually. But somebody kindly tweeted right before the show, truly as I was walking in, I wonder if this person's here or if this is just somebody ruminating on pictures. Is Allison McKenzie here? No. Okay, so it's just somebody staring at a picture.
This is fake, Moshe.
You think I was downstairs coming up with the name Allison McKenzie? Maybe it's the lighting or the grief, but Moshe Kasher's hair looks better today. I mean, I don't know why you bring up poor Pablo regarding my hair, but I thought, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, for real though, do you guys think it looks okay?
Wait, hold on.
Because he's asked me so many times, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about your hair anymore. Why don't you ask the crowd?
Well, hold on. Would you say it looks fucked up? That's not cool. Oh, by the way, if you're wearing a mask, everybody's wearing a mask. I think a fun way for us to ease the tension of COVID is to take it off and put it on your neighbor. Can we try? No. Okay, because we don't do this show in front of a live audience, it would be fun to, it's rare to be in front of this many honeymooners at once and to be able to, in real time, get a real feeling of what you actually think. So I thought, if you like it, you raising your hand or are you doing this? What? Oh, I didn't know. I can't see it. Okay, what, you want to speak up? I mean, I have a thing planned, but you can, yeah?
I noticed it right away.
You noticed it?
His hair?
That's close to a compliment. That's cool.
Honey, I noticed it too. All right, well, listen, speaking of hair.
Wait, hold on. I was good at let me do my thing. So I thought, okay, if you like it, I'm going to have you cheer. And if you don't, so we'll do that first. And if you don't, and be real. Like, don't just do, and I know that the temptation is there to just bully me. And so don't just do the other thing because you think it'd be funny to humiliate me. Like, but if you don't like it, do what Natasha does when I ask her if she likes my haircut. Go, All right, okay, so who here likes the new hairstyle? He said, in the like. All right, who here thinks I should not so much? Wait, Natasha.
That's a pretty big majority, Moshe.
I look like Sam Smith.
Okay. No, Moshe will send me all these pictures. He's like, see, this is a trending hairstyle. I'm like, these people are 14.
Anyway, dab to start the show. All right, speaking of great hair.
Let's bring out our guest.
One of the best heads of hair in comedy. One of the funniest people in the world. The innovator, the unbelievable.
Reggie Watts!
Ladies and gentlemen. Right.
That is a mic. It's a 57, often used for drums. It just lacks a little bit of the pop filters that the rounded dome mics use.
Reggie, how you feeling?
Reggie knows his stuff.
I'm feeling really good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. What do you think of my hair?
I think it. Let's see the side.
Bad sign. It feels like if it's good, it'll be like, I like it. It's like, let me see a different angle, maybe?
I mean, like maybe an off-duty officer. It looks good. Not police officer.
A cop's haircut?
No, no, not a police officer. Oh, like police Coast Guard or something.
Oh, like
that.
A Coast Guard officer. Reggie, I thought, what do you think? I was thinking it could be fun to, you know how usually shows do a lightning round at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we posted that you were going to be on the show, and a lot of people had questions, so I was just going to throw some of these out here.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we thought we'd do the Reggie Watts lightning round to begin.
And, you know, we can all contribute, but people have questions, so, you know.
People be having questions.
Yeah, so this is from brand name comic John, I can't read his name. All right, he says, this is a question I'd like to know the answer to. How do you get past creative blocks? If you're immortal, like the rest of us who get them. You're not immortal, but can you give us any advice?
Well, you know, you gotta look at that block squarely in the, if it has eyes, and you say, like, how am I gonna desaturate you and reformat you today? Mm-hmm. And then you do it, and then you're like, oh, cool, thanks for the extra Lego pieces.
Oh, so drugs.
Yes.
Okay.
I like the idea of talking to your blocks, though. That's kind of cool. You know,
Block talk.
Yeah.
You're such an extemporaneous performer, Reggie. Do you ever experience creative blocks?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I have. It's kind of, it can be scary, but I just have to immediately go like, oh, this isn't scary. This is fine.
And you just work, you just push through it.
Yeah, you just kind of like, there's like others, you know, like if you've been performing long enough, there are things that you know you can do that'll just kind of help you recalibrate, like get back on track again. And so you just run that and then get reestablished.
Oh, what's one of your tricks? Or is it, would it ruin the...
I go, and then right back on track.
Here's a question. How do I build the courage to ask a friend out? You ever asked a friend out?
You mean like it's just like, hey, come on out.
Oh, they're like hiding indoors at some point.
Yeah.
How do you build the courage to ask a friend out of the shelter in place that they're still in the middle
Yeah.
of?
No, you're friends with someone, but you're like, oh, maybe I'd like to take this to another level.
Oh, I got you. A little ducky action. I'd say, you know, you just gotta ask them, but you gotta like, well, first of all, you have to feel like, is this a really good friendship? Okay, great. Then you just say like, hey. I don't want this to change. I know we're really good friends, but I just want to say I've been feeling some stuff, you know, and I just want you to know that, and all I don't want to affect our friendship or whatever, and then slowly morph your voice into a Californian.
Like, you can kind of get away with it more if you just sound a little more Californian.
Yeah, because then you're just like, you know, but oh. You know, it's like,
I know we've been friends for a while or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
But like, I was thinking, what if we like try to physicalize this? And if not, no big. We can still paddle out when there's a big swell.
Totally. Equally stoked either way. Stoked either way. Max wins. Want some avocado?
You know, nothing stokes me harder than our friendship, right? But if we could do it with more than friendship, that would stoke me harder. Okay, so I stand corrected on nothing.
Okay.
Gosh, have you ever asked a friend out?
No.
No.
No, I would never do that.
Heavens no.
We were friends when I asked you out.
Remember that?
Right, I would flirt with a friend, you know, but like... I wouldn't be like, hey, I know we're friends, but I want to get with you. No, I would not do that.
Well, yeah. That's what I finally said to her. I said, I want to get with you.
You can just walk on stage.
Uh-oh, stand by for swappable.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, damn. It's even more muscular. More muscles.
Okay, Reggie, here's a question that I want the answer to, too, from @money. How do you remain so cool and calm with so much shit going on in the world?
Fuck. How do I remain so? You know, I do have a lot of anxiety around, you know, like news. I take news breaks. That helps a lot because the whole time I'm just like, stop saying that. That doesn't mean anything. What are you doing?
Natasha did that like a couple. Now it's too loud. But Natasha did that a couple years ago. She took the news off of her phone.
Haven't been back.
And she's been so much more peaceful, but I swear to God, every few weeks she'll come in and she'll be like, what's going on in Ukraine?
No, today, yeah, it's news breaks. I think that's a good idea. But would you do more than like a week?
I do like a, I'll do a week, but I still kind of do YouTube, but then I try to train the algorithm to move away from the dumb shit that I'm addicted to. But like, I think a lot of it too is just, yeah, just taking the time to just like go on a walk. It sounds so stupid, but go on a walk, or do some ketamine and then like watch like an art film, you know, just kind of defrag your brain a little bit.
I have to say the Criterion Collection, like if you just like go on Criterion.com and like watch some, you know, French film from the 60s, like it really does kind of recalibrate you.
Yeah.
Because it's like something like the snobbiest thing you can figure out and like get high. And it just kind of takes you, it's like, oh, it's beautiful, but it's also like where maybe, you know, there was no phones and.
No, I think that's a great suggestion. And my buddy Willow hangs out right under the Ben and Jerry's at Hayden and Ashbury. He's got the cleanest K in San Francisco.
True.
So if you want to combine those two things.
Oh, also, if you're going to watch K, I just realized something. Thanks for reminding me of ketamine for the first time tonight. But yeah, I saw a movie last night that I would classify as what I would say D-core, which for me stands for dissociative core, which ketamine is a dissociative. It's called Skinamarink. And if you guys get a chance to see that movie on K or not on K, that'll do you.
I feel like I keep telling people to see movies and they're like, that wasn't that good. And I'm like, oh, I was so high when I saw that. I should stop. I should keep doing that, but maybe don't suggest it to everybody.
Right.
Here's one. How do I get a nerd in a relationship? Which to me, there's so much subtext in that question. Is the idea that nerds are like these like unattainable fuckboys that are just out in the world, you can't pin me down. I'll be playing Q-Bert and getting pussy if you need me. Aren't nerds easy to get into relationships? Don't they want love? Aren't they really into stuff? Don't they really like stuff?
You probably have to build up their self-esteem a little bit.
Nerds now don't have bad self-esteem. They're like, yeah, I love every my little hobby the most. I feel like.
Well, I mean, you know, Steve Bannon is a nerd.
He's a huge Nazi nerd. I mean, he's fucking so nerdy about Nazi shit.
Nazi nerds. I think nerds. I think you gotta hit them. You gotta hit them where in the sweet spot. You know, you gotta be sweet.
The hymen.
And you gotta also And you also have to like kind of be into some of the stuff that they like. Like you have to be nerdy yourself about something so you can share your nerd intersection, you know. That's all.
Great advice.
I knew a girl who used to. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. She used to ride around with an Xbox, with a PlayStation 2. That's how long ago this was. She didn't like video games, but she was trying to catch a man.
Oh my Lord!
And she had the PlayStation, so if she found like a gamer guy, she'd be like, "We could game," and she'd pop it out of her trunk.
Okay, Reggie, one more. Did you say yes, Moshe?
Okay, Reggie, one more.
All right, so Ham Zaft wants to know, how do you stop overthinking when you're baked?
Oh, when you're biznaked. I guess how do you
switch
stop overthinking?
Drugs?
Yeah, you can't. You know, well, you can take a large dose of CBD. That's the practical way of doing it.
Does CBD work?
Yeah. It slows it puts the brakes on the psychoactive properties of
Interesting.
THC.
Wait, of what?
Of THC.
So if you're high as fuck,
yeah,
and then you take one of those like CBD sodas, then you could pass a sobriety test?
Well, no, not. I don't. I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, that would. Well, no, but. but it would definitely reduce that anxiety, that overthinking, which I think overthinking also means probably anxiety. But there's that. Or sometimes I just listen to music. I just like put on some headphones and close my eyes, lay down in a bed and listen to some sick-ass music. And then your brain's like, oh, that's all I needed. You know, because like it's like, I'm over-processing. There's not enough stuff for me to organize. And then you're like, here, organize this, bitch.
I mean, that is great advice.
I love it. I love doing that. I love helping.
I got a question before we bring on. Yeah, give him a round of applause. I have a question of my own before we bring our first couple up here. We've talked a lot about drugs tonight. What is the best, in your opinion, entry-level psychedelic for a person that has never attempted before? If somebody was out there and thinking, I want to like have a psychedelic experience,
yeah,
where do they begin?
I would, you know, I'd say go with mushrooms, but just like a small dose of mushrooms, because it's like, it's earthy, it's fun, it's silly, and at small doses, you kind of start to get the idea, and you think, wow, maybe I could do more next time, maybe, or maybe not, whatever, but I think it's a good one. It does have a gag. Some people have a gag reflex. I do, if I can't smell.
Natasha doesn't.
I have to put my, okay.
Oh my God, when I was doing ayahuasca, it was literally people hurling, like for an hour. It was so awful.
I refuse to throw up. That's why I don't do ayahuasca. I'll never do ayahuasca.
Not a perfect drug.
Yeah, no, I'm not into that.
Like yeah. Men. Like yeah. Because like, I would do it like really cute, like, you know, but you're like in the middle of your trip and there's just a guy like, some like meathead, ugh. Yeah.
So you were like auditioning for voiceover when you were doing like. I could see Natasha standing up in the middle of an ayahuasca ceremony and going to the shaman, not a perfect drug.
2.5.
It was cool, but like the vomit thing is definitely problematic.
There's got to be a way to skip that. Just stick to ketamine.
Wait, can I talk about something funny that you did?
Yes, but we do have to move on, hun. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at a piece of paper. It says run of show on it. But Natasha, one of your ayahuasca experiences, can I talk about that?
Yes, you can talk about one of my ayahuasca experiences.
Well, she came home and she goes, oh, I had such an amazing time and I had so many profound realizations. And she sat down, she took my hand and she goes, I realized that you're like a son's bend. Like a son husband. And I was like, that was your primary takeaway? That
well,
I'm
I
a
just,
child?
No, here's the problem.
Is it supposed to do that?
Right before I left for ayahuasca, Moshe was like hanging on our railing that go down. Our house was built in 1940s, and he likes to like slide down the railing like a child, to the point where like they start to become maybe like unhinged or whatever.
Wobbles.
Yeah, he's like ruining the railing because he thinks it's fun to do that down. And as soon as the music started on my first ayahuasca trip, I just kept thinking of that. And it was like ruminating in my head, like you trying to like slide down the banisters.
There is nothing more Natasha Leggero than you on ayahuasca thinking about nothing but 1940s banisters being destroyed.
I love them.
And I love you too. Let's... I love you too, Mom.
Mom's life.
All right, let's do it.
Can
let's
we bring
up first couple
our
up.
First couple up?
Yeah.
Hey, Tosh.
Hey, Mosh.
You know how you're totally sick right now?
Yeah.
You know what else is sick?
What?
How much work women have to do to figure out their fertility.
Yeah, that's really sick.
It's sick in the way that if you're hearing Natasha's voice sounding like she's on death's door, is sick. Anyway, we want to tell you about Modern Fertility. The reason it was created was to make an easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. You used to have to go through all kinds of crazy stuff to figure out your fertility, right?
Yeah. By the way, Mosh, did you know that 1 out of 8 couples struggle with infertility? Seriously, that is a staggering statistic.
Almost as staggering as the amount of sickness that we can all hear in your voice as you make this ad.
But we need good data and information about our bodies in order to have informed conversations with our doctors and make the best decisions for ourselves and our futures.
So with Modern Fertility, you take that simple finger prick, you mail it in with a prepaid label, you get your personalized results within 8 business days. It's super easy.
You'll get insight into your hormone levels, like your ovarian reserve, aka if you have more or fewer eggs than average for your age. I had so many eggs, but then I turned 38. Other more important factors that can impact your fertility, the results go deep into what every hormone means, and you can also download the results to review with your doctor for next steps.
Anyway, traditionally, at one of these clinics, it'll cost you like $600, but Modern Fertility tests the same general set of hormones for just $179. And if you go to modernfertility.com/honeymoon, you can get $20 off your test.
Plus, you can get reimbursed for the test through your FSA/HSA.
So one more time, go to modernfertility.com/honeymoon. Get $20 off of your test. That's right. We're offering you $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/honeymoon. That means the test will cost $159. That's like nothing compared to what it would cost at a real clinic. That's like nothing compared to what it would cost at a fertility clinic. So go to modernfertility.com/honeymoon.
Knowledge is power.
Okay, so do we have Dalton and Uyam?
Uyam. Uyam and Dalton, ladies and gentlemen. Put your hands together for Uyam. There they come. Uyam,
hi guys,
how
have
are
a seat.
You? Dalton, how are you?
Hello?
Perhaps the most non-American and American-sounding names of all time. Dalton could not be more plucked out of private school on the East Coast. And Uyam, what is it?
I'm from Turkey.
Oh, it's Turkish.
Turkey. How do you say your name?
Uyam.
Oh, Uyam, would you do me a favor? Grab that mic and just fucking pull it to you like it's a territory in Armenia that you want. Awesome.
Only in America.
Okay, so what's going on with you guys? Are you a couple, I'm assuming?
We are. We're okay. Married for almost 9 years now.
Married almost 9 years. Very cool.
Longer than me and Moshe.
How, Dalton, did you propose?
Sort of. No, oh. I think it was more of like an agreement.
We agreed to get married.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It was like a plan.
Me and Duke.
Based on what?
You... Immigration to U.S.
That's cool. So if immigration is listening, it's a different Dalton and Uyam.
Okay, and so you got married. Now you're an American citizen, Uyam.
Yes.
And what's the issue?
So we're having more of an issue during our chill times. Like when we want to relax at home and we don't want to do anything, then we go, oh, we should watch something or play video games. But they're both problematic for us. Because I always want to watch movies or like an hour-long drama, something longer and more involved. And he also wants to watch them, but never today, because he's too tired to commit to a longer viewing experience. So he wants to watch YouTube videos /
with you?
Social media videos.
You should never watch social media together. That should just be across the board rule, right? Yeah. That's a solo.
Dalton, how old are you?
I'm about to turn 36.
36 years old? You'll be like, dude, I just saw the craziest fail comp on YouTube.
It's mostly cat videos and like Turkish grandmothers, that kind of thing.
Oh, you're trying to butter up to her Turkish side and be like, no, we can watch YouTube videos, but they'll be Turkish.
Yes.
Hey, the Turks love their cats.
We do.
They do.
And what video game do you guys play?
See, that's also a problem.
Yeah?
Because he wants to watch me play because he likes it.
Oh, he's a video game cuck. That's cool.
Well, she's not a gamer. I grew up playing video games. We are both big fans of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I introduced her to that game.
Beautiful.
Great game.
But, you know, I play the game like I think it's designed to, right? I use the items. She does not use them.
She just wanders.
She hoards it, and then she throws the bombs instead of using the weapons. And so, it takes forever.
So she prefers ranged weapons.
I like watching the sunsets in the game because it's really pretty.
Wait, maybe I would like this video game. It's just sunsets?
It's a very beautiful game.
Video games have sunsets now?
I do feel like within this dichotomy is like this profound metaphor for men and women in some way.
I mean, you're saying you will not sit down at 9 p.m. to watch an hour of Yellowstone?
I mean... I feel like I put it off because it's a long time and
an hour.
My attention span is not as long as hers. She loves movies and like dramas and stuff like that. I want to watch cats.
You gotta stretch a little bit.
I know,
Dalton.
Yeah.
I mean, your attention span you can't deal with a 1 hour episode of television, but it can deal with watching her wander through the Zelda universe.
No, that one also gives me anxiety because she does the bomb thing and like she wastes a lot of time.
The bomb thing.
Oh, you like sit there and you're like an older brother yelling at her like, no, go there, jump.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's a bit frustrating. So I have to actually mindfully like not say anything because I get worked up about her throwing bombs at goblins from the mountaintop.
Well, but do you ever try to play a video game together?
Yes, those are really fun. Yeah, those work out well.
Okay.
Yeah, those are better.
Okay, see you guys later. No, just kidding.
Listen, I would like to do my own thing all the time, but I don't because I'm married and you have to find the place where like
I'm her son's bend.
You have to find the place where your interests match, and you know, so it might like Moshe will not watch a comedy. He won't watch any comedy. So if I want to watch a comedy, I do that on my own. But like he's really into, you know, documentaries, or you know, now we're watching, like I mentioned, Yellowstone.
Oh, we're Trump voters.
And because I honestly don't even like the show. I just like one storyline, but it's enough for me. I'm giving him that, so I'll like stay with the show to watch this one storyline so we can have a fun night together. That sounds so sad. Do you feel sorry for us, Reggie?
Well, here's the thing. If he allowed me to watch things on my own, I would still be happy about it. But
what do you mean allow?
Okay, hold on.
Oh, now we're getting into it.
To Dalton's credit, hold on, don't judge. To Dalton's credit, you have to let them watch just a little bit. You can't give them too much.
I get FOMO.
Oh, you get FOMO, but you won't. But you don't get. You don't. Whatever the opposite of missing out is, you don't go.
It's a problem. Yes.
Harness your mind. You are in control of your mind, Dalton. What the fuck is wrong with you?
William, yeah, how solid is your immigration status? Are you fully?
I'm a citizen now, so.
All right. I think we know the solution here.
One step. I mean, you know, I think relationships are challenging. I haven't had too many, but they're, and a lot of it came down to communication for me. Like those are the things when I look back, like things that I didn't like that I didn't say, you know, or when I said them, I held on too much, so it always comes out weird, and then that creates like tension. But I would say like it has to be a little bit of, you have to have autonomy. You have to have enough autonomy. And that idea of that FOMO, I understand that vibe. But in a way, you can kind of rewire it to make it feel like, oh, I'm really stoked that she's getting to do what she wants to do. And then I get to do what I want to do. And you just like feel good in that, in knowing that that's happening. I think that brings you closer together because it gives you more space to understand one another. And it's fun to try. It's hard, but it's fun.
No, that's great advice. And Dalton, just if you didn't understand what Reggie was saying, think of it like it's a side quest, right? That Uyam's on, right? That's her. She's doing. But I think also something that could be. Obviously, it seems to me that the problem is that Dalton, you like to be in control. Like Dalton likes to control stuff.
Actually, he doesn't like to control stuff. He just wants to do things with me. I think it's more sweet than it comes across.
No, you're missing something completely, Uyam.
Hello.
Because he wants to do things with you, and he doesn't want you to do them without him. That's the second component, which isn't wanting something. It's wanting you not to do something.
I mean, sometimes when I'm scrolling like Netflix or something, you know, and I see the red bar fully full, I'm like, well. What happened there? Like, I wanted to watch that with you.
But communication about those things. Like, there's things where, Moshe really wanted to watch Harry and Meghan. And he's like, any interest? What'd you say, Reggie?
It's inexcusable. No, go ahead.
Exactly. But Moshe, then he said
to me. It's my Breath of the Wild, guys.
He was like, well, I'm going to watch it with or without you. And I'm like, if you're definitely watching this, I will watch it with you. Like, so I did watch it. So I'm just saying, like, you can kind of, like, negotiate in that way, too, you know? Like, if he's watching something that's in this realm of things that I'm interested in, but certain things, he's like, oh, you're on your own. And I think just verbalizing that and having your little things that you're like, okay, well, let's save this for each other and have a date night, even if it's just once a week where you watch something that you know it involves both of your interests and make it fun, and you can actually we had one last night, you can have a fun date night and you don't have to go out. You could, like, you know, have dinner, watch the thing, do whatever.
Yeah,
doing whatever last night was a lot of fun, to be honest, guys. I think to piggyback on what Natasha's saying, the solution to this to me is obvious. Dalton, you've got to let go of a little bit of control. Just man to man, it's not a good look. But I think the solution actually is for you guys to, you have to agree on a project together. Natasha and I did that with we watched all of the Best Picture winners, and we tried to make it through all of the Best Screenplay winners. We had a project together. So there was never a, now we are watching Yellowstone together because of, we agree with its political messaging. And there's never a question. We have a mission. Dalton, you're going to love this. We have a mission. We have a boss to beat, if that makes sense. And it's the collective. So you guys should agree. Oh, we're going to watch all of the greatest, you know, most famous Turkish movies ever. Or we're going to watch all of the video game adaptation. Whatever it is, you agree on this project together. And then you're engaged in something together. And there's never a question.
And it is healthy for you to not be watching your social media for an hour that you're going to spend with her. Okay? I can see the pallor of your skin. You spend too much time on your phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But definitely. I mean,
you can see it.
It's, you know, that's the thing. It's like in a relationship, it's tough to not get codependent, and the codependency is really cozy and warm, and it makes it. And there's a really amazing positive quality to that. However, someone on an airplane once, he was like, "What do you think the most important thing in a relationship is?" And I was like, "Knowing that you got each other's back." And he was like, "No, no, no, protecting each other's solitude."
Ooh, and, I love that.
And I love that idea because. That gives you, it's like you are too in it, but you have to find a good distance, an orbit. It's like a twin star. You know, it's like sometimes you orbit a little bit further and then sometimes you have a larger orbit. But you have to be comfortable in all those orbits because actually it reduces the anxiety and the stress that you have. You know?
I think, Uyum, did you have something to talk about?
No, I was going to say that's really great advice.
I think, Uyum, it would be good for you actually to find something that you know Dalton doesn't like. And set out to watch that on your own.
Oh, interesting.
I think that would be a good growth experience for both of you because you could then have your own thing. Because like Reggie said, like you don't just grow as a couple. You grow as individuals and then the couple grows stronger.
The problem is then I end up watching really trash TV and I hate it.
But that's okay. Sometimes that might be how you turn off your mind, you know, and try to like challenge yourself to maybe get into something else. But also watch that and have fun and make it not too long and research what you guys could watch together. And I think we helped you.
You're a delight. Uyum and Dalton, ladies and gentlemen.
So
give them a round of applause. Thank you so much.
Thank you. See ya.
Moshe, do you think I protect your solitude? That's such great advice, Reggie.
I think you do, actually, Natasha.
I feel like you've told me so many times, like, you can't talk about my Star Trek addiction anymore. Or, like, I kind of, like, roast your solitude.
No, Star Trek is specific because it was a show that I was using, like, as my, like, comfort blanket before sleep for a long time through the pandemic. I rewatched every episode of Next Generation and then every episode of Deep Space Nine. But I would do that in bed before we went to sleep. And so I did, on some level, understand why it was such a profound turnoff for you.
It wasn't that. It was like having to go to bed to the guy with the eyebrows.
Who's the guy with the eyebrows?
Oh, you're talking about...
What are they called?
The Ferengi?
The guy that's all ears? No, they're called something else.
The Klingons?
Oh, Klingons.
Yeah, Klingons.
I didn't want to go to sleep
Romulans,
with them every
night.
I mean,
Romulans, you know, they got it too.
Worf.
Worf.
It is imperative for us to reroute the shields. Yeah. Mr. LaForge, please follow me and my away team.
I mean, when Patrick Stewart was on the screen.
I'm already getting sleepy, and I feel comforted and calm right now. But no, Natasha likes Ferengis because she converted before we got married.
Oh.
Listen, when Patrick Stewart was on, it was kind of cute. But like the other people,
the other
I don't know.
You know the new, new shits? Was it Discovery? Is that, no, not Discovery. What's the one after? Oh, Brave New Worlds. You'll like Brave New Worlds.
No, I won't.
It's
no.
So good.
No.
Well, okay, no, you won't. But it's, to me, it's. I think that's one of the best Star Trek series that's come out since Next Generation. That's just me.
All right. Reggie, are you ready to hear some secrets?
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Reggie, you have so much wisdom you're dropping. I feel like we should have more people come up. But yes, let's
hear
the secrets.
No, we'll have them all. Okay. We got secrets. You guys ready to hear some secrets from the Secrets Hotline?
Secrets. Secrets.
All right, let's queue up secret number one.
So these are people who call in randomly.
Copy that. Rando covers.
Hi, y'all. So I procreated with a manipulative demon narcissist of a man. And we are no longer together, but we co-parent pretty amicably. But my way of getting subtle revenge at how, I guess, hurt I was over the past few years, I dress our child in the ugliest clothes that I have when we do our switchovers because he's really into style and fashion. And I know that this eats away at his soul just a little bit. So that's that. Love the pod. Thanks.
Damn.
I like that she was like, yeah, we co-parent, me and this stupid fucking piece of garbage crap that I've created an elaborate manipulation that I use my child as a token for pretty amicably.
I mean, the whole thing of wanting your kid to dress cool, like, I've given up on that. My daughter, like, we bought her all these cute clothes. She still, tonight we went out to dinner, she picked her American Girl dress, which she insisted on bringing with, and I even told her tonight it was ugly, and she started crying.
Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. And she was...
Oh, my God.
I hate it. It's so ugly. And she's you like, know what you don't sound like my clothes.
You know what you sound like, Natasha, is a manipulative, narcissistic.
I mean, it's like a pale blue, ruffly dress made of the worst material.
She's
like
four.
I know. I'm just saying. It's just like.
Oh, my God. Neil, I get you.
I got to do more live podcasts. She never would have told me about that otherwise.
Yeah. I think that secret's great. I think she's doing a real good job. I think it's funny. It's like kind of hilarious. It's like something that you can imagine them telling their kid when they're older about, and I could imagine hopefully the kid's well adjusted, just be like laughing because it's hilarious. You're like, you did that? That's fucking brilliant. Good for you.
It's also something you could imagine that kid telling a therapist later on.
Yeah, but it's so hard to imagine that.
All right, let's hear another secret.
Hi, I have a secret.
Okay.
I am 26 years old, and I just learned that I have been wiping incorrectly my entire life. I guess you're supposed to wipe front to back if you have a vagina, and I wipe middle to front, fold the paper over so it's clean, and then wipe middle to back. And I now have to learn how to do it the correct way because I have a really gnarly UTI and it's incredibly painful and it's so weird having to change my wiping habits after 2 decades of doing it one way. Love the podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Love your podcast.
Well, I have to say our daughter got a UTI.
She's 4. Mm.
And I asked the doctor, I was like, can you show her how to wipe? And he looked at me like I had just asked him to show me his dick. He was just like, ugh. And I was just like, okay, I don't know. Like, maybe if she heard it from you, she would, you know, I just feel like there is such a shame involved. But also I would like to add that I just learned last year that you don't flush your tampons.
What?
I didn't know. You didn't know?
There's signs everywhere constantly. Please do not flush tampons or sanitary napkins, like everywhere. You think it's like just for like, well, household toilets can handle it, but everywhere else the infrastructure's way too weak.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Okay, got it. Okay.
The fact that
I didn't know, and I even asked my mother, and then I texted my mom. I was like, Mom, what do you do with your tampons? She's like, what do you think I do? And like, she was really secretive and weird about it. Like, she didn't want... And I just wanted to say to her, like, you should have told me that.
Yeah, that's
and then
true.
I asked my best friend, and she's like, of course you don't flush that. Like, I didn't know.
I love the fact that a man was like, I've seen these signs. In the unisex bathrooms, I have to imagine they're also in the women's room.
It is up to the parents, though, to teach the people, right? Like, I just didn't know.
A bit.
Oh, it's not like it's that instinctive to whip a bloody tampon out and, like, play with it and wrap it up. I mean, I'm just like, get this out of me.
No, it's like racism. At a certain point, you become responsible for it.
That's true. That's what's up.
All right.
Well, here's to answer secret callers. There wasn't really. There was nothing. They weren't asking anything. But a bidet.
You've been there.
A bidet. I have a
bidet.
A bidet.
I've been I thought you said been there. I was like, no. You used to
a bidet.
Wipe from...
Like, you would think I would say a bidet. Like, a bidet. Like, oh, yeah. That's how he say
You're
it.
You're into that bidet life?
Yeah, totally. No, bidets, they're like, they're the shit. People are like, I don't know. It's like, once you start using it, you're like, oh, fuck. Okay, cool. Also, so, wipe both ways just to make sure it's all good. You know what I mean? Like, just go for it.
So in Europe, like, is a bidet an upper class thing or is it an across the board thing?
I mean, Japan. I mean, Japan, all the Japanese have been using bidets forever.
So it's just What's American. That?
Somebody screams, it's normal in the most American accent I've ever. Wait, was it American? Oh, I didn't hear it. Okay, yeah. You're good. Yeah, keep talking. It would be funnier, though, if it was a super American accent. It's normal in Europe.
It's just great.
I was trying to figure out the physiology of what she was saying. Is it she wipes from the meridian middle of her vagina?
So if the vagina on most,
to the urethra?
Most vaginas are about that long. So like,
and then the
start there, go all the way that way, fold the paper over. Oh, that looks clean. And then go back, find that middle again.
Right.
And then go backwards. That's it.
Okay. I got it now, I think.
It's all about the parents. My daughter does it right. And, you know, it's like you just have to teach them how to do it. That's all.
Okay. Ready for a third secret?
I didn't throw the applicator in the toilet. I'm just saying.
Oh, then it's okay.
That is the funniest parenting style ever, your mom, by the way. Mom, I have a question about my childhood. What do you do with your tampons? What do you think I do with them? It's so passive aggressive and gives no information at all.
Nope. You deal with it.
All right, let's hear another secret.
Okay.
Secret.
Hi, Natasha and Moshe. I have a secret that I've never told anybody that I'd love to get off my chest. So backstory to this secret is that there is a scene in Hostel 2 where the person that's about to be killed is hanging upside down naked while a bathtub is under them. And then this woman walks into the room and gets naked and lays in the bathtub under her. Then the naked lady in the bathtub pulls out a scythe and, like, cuts her up and splits her throat open and, like, the blood pours all over her. Yeah. Well, my secret is that that scene turns me on. And when the movie came out back in, like, 2007 or so, I was 13 and masturbating to that scene because of how turned on it was. And I even rewatched that movie recently, and I'm still very much turned on by that scene. So that's my secret. Bye.
Love your podcast.
I mean, there's something positive in knowing what you like.
Mom, what do you masturbate to? What do you think I masturbate to? The scene in Hostel with the scythe and the bathtub and the lady slipping under and the blood and the...
Wow.
That is...
Maybe it's something about the woman, though. Like, maybe it doesn't have to do with the blood.
No, I don't think so.
I kind of get it. There's a difference between, like, the actual thing and... And a fantasy of something, right? Like, I think sometimes people get hung up on, they're like, if you like this, then that means that you would want to see that in real life. It's like, no one wants to see that in real life. That's really messy, primarily. The first negative thing about it is that it's very messy.
Oh, but, I would let somebody slit my throat with a scythe in a bathtub that I was laying on top of a naked lady, but the mess.
No. I don't like the mess, and then, like, even with the visqueen, whatever. But I think that's totally fine. I think that's part of, like, horror, you know, horror fantasy. I have, like, friends that love, like, anime, and there's, like, some pretty crazy shit there. There's a friend who draws a lot of, like, sexual, like, dark sexual. I think it's all healthy because it's, like, the mind has a spectrum of dark and light, and I think it's important to recognize that as healthy as opposed to making someone feel shameful for it.
So you don't think that's a really good... You don't think they need to go see a therapist, or there's like death involved in there?
I think if it starts creeping in and you start feeling like, you start looking around in the real world going like, who would be great to be drained on me? Like,
right, or if she had called and said, that scene turns me on. And also, nothing else does.
Yes.
That's when it 100%. Starts to be therapy situation.
Yep. totally.
I like that, the dark and light, and just letting it all live together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we don't kink shame here on the Endless Honeymoon podcast. Should we do, let's do two more. What do you think?
Secrets. Yeah, sure.
Right, one more secret.
You said two more.
Play another one.
Secrets.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Leggero. Big fan of the podcast. So so my secret is, I was out of town at my friend's bachelorette party, and we had set up a bunch of snacks and a lovely charcuterie board. And I had been texting my boyfriend at the time, and we were kind of sexting. And he asked for a picture of my pussy. I really didn't want to leave my friends, so I got creative and arranged some of the cold cuts from the charcuterie into the shape of a vagina. I took a picture, edited the lighting and the exposure, and sent it to him. He responded a couple minutes later saying, that photo made me come harder than any sexy picture he's ever received. And to this day, I've never had the heart to tell him his hardest come was to an intricately arranged assortment of meats with a little bit of photoshopping. Anyway, thanks.
Creative.
Podcast rules.
I like it.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's one that is so innately funny, it's kind of hard to riff on, because it's like, you won and you lost,
yeah,
lady.
Yeah, yeah. I never really understood, like, you know, the phenomena of I guess, what do you call it, reproductive part pics. It's like a dick pic. I think a dude once at a gay nightclub, somehow, on Instagram, he sent me a picture on Instagram. I was like, oh, who's this? That guy seemed really friendly or whatever. And I was like, ah! And I felt like I was like, ah, I just felt like so, ugh. And then I've seen pictures, obviously, you know, people just go, hey, check out my junk or whatever, you know, ladies. And I'm like, it's beautiful, but like, I just never had the requirement for it. It doesn't really, it's too literal. It's just like, boom.
Oh,
okay. I've never gotten a dick pic. I've never sent a picture of my pussy.
Thank you.
You've never gotten a dick pic?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm going to change that for you, honey. You've never received a dick pic?
No, I've never...
That you've opened.
...asked for one. Right. Well, I guess on, like, my DMs or something, but...
Well, who's DMing you dick pics?
I'm just saying, like...
Yeah, who's DMing you dick pics?
That's interesting. How many women in the audience have received a dick pic, solicited or not? Sorry, everyone. You might be alone.
I've just never asked for one.
I don't think they did either. That is not one of the requirements for the sender of the dick pic.
Wait, they just send them?
Isn't that like a thing, guy? Like a thing that guys do? That's like a
doing that. It's
I
fucking
date gentlemen.
It's like I've never been catcalled. I've just never asked a man on the corner to tell me to smile. I haven't.
Okay, can we do one last secret?
Sounds good.
Ryan Seacrest.
Hi. So, I used to date this guy where every time we had sex, he would start counting down until he came, kind of like a rocket ship. Sometimes he would start at 3 or 5. And sometimes when he got to 0, he wouldn't come, so he would start again. I told this to a few people, and we always joke around with it and say how fucking weird it is, but the true secret is that I kind of liked it. All right, thanks.
Aww,
bye.
That's sweet. That's sweet. That's sweet.
I would not like that. You? Oh, no.
No one would like that except this woman.
Maybe he was really hot.
And 3, 2, 1,
abort mission.
Pressure systems all nominal. Pressure systems all going. And countdown is now proceed. We are clear for go. That's 5, 4, 3.
Like if he sounded like a 1950s Cape Canaveral Space Command, that'd be pretty sick.
What would make a guy think that that's okay?
That's one small blast for a man.
I copy that. You now can continue to clean up.
Well, the problem is that guy... He had a lover, this woman, who knew it was stupid, but also kind of liked it. And so he missed his shot to have a woman. If you do something like that, and you should just say to the person, hey, I think it's cute, but no one on earth will ever like that again. For sure that's bad. Because he doesn't know. He thinks that's his move. He's like, oh, wow, I really get him? It's with the countdown, brother.
What? Let's slow that down.
It would be cool if he started it at the first stroke. He's like, 712, 711.
It's like, how many strokes does it take for me to get to ground zero? One.
But like,
two.
Is that, that's the soundtrack to Osama bin Laden jerking off to the falling Twin Towers?
I mean, this
I
is.
I think that's funny, and I don't agree with you guys.
This is such a bro move. Like, the undertone to this is just all about my pleasure, and we're going to be counting down in sports casting my pleasure. Right. I mean, it's really disgusting,
pretty
to
intense.
Be honest.
It's
really
like, intense.
But everybody's going to want to gather around and watch the eruption.
Or what if it's more like just like anime, like, here we go, ha ha, fine, three, three, two, one, wee, 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 wee.
That's there's what, no way.
That's what Natasha did on the countdown to her ayahuasca vomit. Oh, man, that was great. I cannot believe that somebody does that.
That's incredible.
You know what's crazy is that guy is out there.
Yeah, he real.
Doing it now.
Honestly, it's not that incredible. It's just a low IQ. all right, so we're going to bring our second couple up. Do we have Randy and Ethan?
Randy and Ethan, give them Reethan. A round of applause.
Come on, Reethan. Reethan, Reethan.
This will be our palate cleanser from that last secret of that bro. I'm never going to get him out of my mind.
Five. Hey, make your way up a little quicker. Five, four, three, two, one. Randy and Ethan.
Hi, guys. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Which one's Ethan?
That's me. Hello.
Okay.
Hi, Ethan. Oh, yeah. Just put it all. I hate when I say this, but put it all the way up to your mouth.
Yeah, I know
how it sounds, but just if you just
check, check one, two,
say, babe.
Like this, like
all the way up here, like this, like like you're kissing.
Is it working?
I know it
try
bad.
It. Try it. Try it. Is it working?
But
say
true.
Something. Say something.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds great.
We're good.
That's it.
Okay.
Thank
when
you
going on Jeopardy?
Oh, you saw me on it. Yeah. I just realized I Weird Al Yankovic'd Jeopardy. I lost on Jeopardy.
Oh.
He didn't do well, but...
No, I lost
Wait, weren't
Jeopardy.
You the only person that knew what, like, the Eiffel Tower was
yeah.
or something?
Yeah, it was pretty some pretty dumb shit going on up there. But.
You're like, what's an iconic metal building in Paris? And everybody's like, Empire State,
The Paris.
Cape Canaveral, and you got it right.
I did, but I said Tour Eiffel, which totally froze the game. Like, when you see the edit, it's so super quick, but actually they stopped the game
because
down.
You said it in French.
Yeah, and the judges had to, like, confer. It was, like, this
oh
whole
my
thing.
God.
I was like, are you kidding me? Anyways.
Okay, so what's going on, Randy and Ethan?
You guys married, going out?
We are. We're newlyweds. We've been married for about 6 months now.
Oh,
yes.
Congratulations. Yeah, yeah. A little overgenerous on newlyweds after 6 months, but sure, why not? What? Where'd you go on your honeymoon?
We went to the Dominican, actually. We had a really good time.
Cool.
Yep. Came back with an issue to bring to you guys, so.
Sick.
Yeah. Perfect. So I just want to preface by saying I love my husband. I knew what I was getting into when I married him.
So, what was it? What?
It's a lot.
She loves them.
It's a lot.
Okay.
But a frequent debate we have in our house is the mustache.
So let me just preface this right now.
Yep.
My mustache will never look as good as Reggie's hair or whatever the fuck Moshe has got going on the top of his head.
Good one, dude. You almost got a laugh.
That level of confidence, I will never have that.
It's called the Lloyd Christmas.
The bowl cut of a 14-year-old as well, but we're not going to judge that too much, but it'll never look that good.
So you got back from the Dominican and grew a mustache, and she's like, what the fuck? Is that
I've
what
had
happened?
A mustache for
no,
a
he's
while
had a
since
mustache,
I could grow one.
Did he have it at the wedding?
No. So when we got married and on our honeymoon, he had this like gorgeous beard. Ladies, am I right? A gorgeous beard, right? And it was amazing. And then his job doesn't allow a beard, so he went to the mustache. And he's had it before. It's a frequent conversation. This is actually kind of maintained. Usually it's longer. He twists it. He plays with it. He does this like...
Hey.
Five,
and
four,
I look at him,
three,
like,
two...
And every man high fives him. It's like this like bromance going on. I just
you don't like his mustache.
I don't.
Wait, Ethan.
No, she doesn't not like it. She completely hates it. Like it is a point of total hatred.
And why do you love it so much? It's not even that grown in.
Do you say the same thing to your husband when he cuts his hair?
I don't like his hair either, but I just deal with it.
So she should just deal with the mustache.
I'm
then,
eight
right?
years in. She's six
I actually
months
think he's
in.
Making a good point.
You are newlyweds. You should be trying to please her.
So why do you think the reason is it's short right now?
What?
It's short. I cut it.
No, I want it off.
So you don't like the look of it? Do you the texture bother you as well? Because you like the beard, so
yeah,
the texture isn't
the
issue.
Have you tried sitting on it?
That's actually a requirement.
What do you mean?
That's a requirement for me. I think it's daily that I ask her actually fuck my face.
That's right. It's for moisturizing.
That's his reward for shaving it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I shave my face, and she's like, "Oh, well, fuck it then." Well,
okay.
Like,
that's awesome. You love eating pussy. That's great to know about you, man. I'm just curious. What is the job that says no beards but that will allow a mustache?
Military, Coast Guard.
Can you not say? You don't have to say.
It's the military.
It's the military.
Oh, it's a military.
Not Coast Guard. I'm not a puddle jumper. But
oh
close
shit.
Enough.
Army.
Not a
fucking
Army.
Puddle
Air Force.
Jumper.
Air Force. Army. Air Force. Oh yeah. Oh. Nice. Dad was okay. Air Force.
Have you ever seen him without this? Without the mustache?
Yeah. His biggest complaint is without any facial hair, he looks like he's 12 years old. And
that's what you like, right?
No, I'm a high school teacher. I can't go in that direction either. So yeah, yeah. It doesn't work out.
By the way, it's not because you're a high school teacher that you can't go in that direction.
Nope.
Well, me as a college professor, it's actually all good, but...
I'd say, like, something to consider is, like, for me, like, I know from people that I'll kiss, and like when that happens, I notice that if I keep it off my lip, you know, so it's not like down here and on the corners and shit like that, that helps a lot. They're like, oh, thanks, that's better. Because when you have like that long Santa Claus shit or whatever, it's gross, and it's like you have to. I mean, I'm like always self-conscious. I'm like, is there, you know? And it's like a weird compulsion. Having just a mustache is like a little bit easier to manage. But I would say maybe if it was tighter, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like long on the sides of your mouth a little bit. Like I feel like you could like tighten.
Ming,
I'm just trying to help him a little bit. Like,
so my question is, why do you keep staring at it like this whole time?
I'm trying to see what you're
like right here.
Wait,
like
what are
my
you?
Eyes are right
Here's
here,
the thing.
And it's down here. So.
I think, because I was like, I was trying to see what you would look like without it. No, I think that people should do what looks best for them and what makes them feel best. And like, he's had a beard his whole life, so like to have this little bit is really important to him. But maybe I think you might be cute with like a little pencil mustache.
That would be cool.
No.
Yes.
He's too excited about it. Never mind. I don't like
it's
that.
It's the touching too, and the licking, and I'm like, do you wash it? Is that a thing? But I don't know.
I mean, you know, if he washes it, you'd be getting the UTI the collar had earlier if he didn't. But what are you a pilot?
No, absolutely not.
I don't know the inside thing about. I just figure like, is a mustache an Air Force-y thing?
It's a military thing. Like,
yeah.
What does it signify?
It's what you can have.
Military. It's pushing the bounds. So before,
pushing the bounds.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Like the Pringles guy.
My dad had just a mustache guy.
Oh, your dad was?
Yeah, he's an Air Force, just mustache.
Interesting. So
I'm of two minds here. Well, my first inclination was you should just. By the way, Natasha, when Natasha and I first started dating, I used to have this extreme haircut.
Oh my God.
Called it was like I called it the Gitler, the gay Hitler. It was kind of like. Super, like shaved all the way up to here, but then the little Hitler thing
basically
on top.
Basically, Moshe wanted you to see the scalp to this half. Like underneath, it was like scalp and just like a tiny bit of hair. It was like they used like the low, like the whatever they shaved Britney Spears' head with. Like that's what they used.
Shears.
It was like shaved.
And then
long, spiky on top.
And she didn't like it, and so I grew it out.
Not did I not like it. I never thought of you as anything until you grew out your hair, and I was like, oh, he's actually cute.
No, but even after we started dating, you expressed me that you wanted me to grow the sides out, and I was like, okay,
better.
I'll do that for her because she's the person that I'm concerned with attracting, so why not?
And then you started getting a lot of acting work, and your career took off, and people started taking you seriously. You became a father, a wife, and...
I've never been a wife, Natasha.
Or a husband.
A son's been.
I don't know.
But so that's my one mind is like, who cares? It's just a fucking mustache. That's your wife. Fucking shave it off. But then I'm thinking about... What if the shoe was on the other foot? What if it? What
I
if
do
it,
shave my mustache.
Okay, fair enough.
But what if he was like, I just want you to shave your legs and just be ladylike for me. That's what turns me on. And it would be like, wow, that's obnoxious. Her body is her own thing, and you don't get... So I'm a little split here. I understand that context is not the same between the sexes, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, obviously, from an aesthetic point of view, you should obviously shave it off. But from a...
cute with it. I really do think he's pulling it off. It is too long, though, on the sides. I don't think you need that on the sides. It's like coming down here. You could like do it up. Like,
can we get an audience opinion?
Do you do constant bits in the Air Force? Is that? Are they like, Johnson, front and center? And he's like, what's the front? Where are we? I don't know military culture.
I can tell.
I will. Look at this jacket. Actually, one time, this actual jacket... This old guy stopped me, and he's like, I love your jacket. Where'd you get it? And I go, oh, this? This is actually from one of my favorite designers in Los Angeles, Rogue Territory. They do a lot of cool stuff. He's like, I wore that pattern in Vietnam. I was like, okay, sorry. I have a tip for you. I don't know if it solves your issue, but the trick is you put your finger in the corner of your mouth, and you shave everything that your fingertip touches. Your mustache is not supposed to go into your corners here. You're supposed to...
I really think that might help.
I do really appreciate that advice, but here comes the military just changed the regulations.
Like Maverick coming up that mountain.
So, but what about the middle?
Wait, do you shave the middle?
No.
It just doesn't grow there.
Like, oh, it doesn't grow there.
That's a whole other conversation. Like, we'll come back to that one. But the military just changed regulations to where we can grow it now past that point. So we're like, let's grow it past that point.
Oh, yeah. So it's a thing that it's down there. Like, oh, I'm doing the thing.
But why don't you try to be cool and not do just what the man says you're allowed to do and do what, like, your wife wants you to do?
There's a reason there's
and
nothing.
And then when the boys in the bunk are like, hey, man, why don't you got the low sides?
So you guys see what I'm dealing with, right, every time this conversation
You
comes
married
up.
Him, honey.
I know. It's not like he sprung this on you at the wedding. What you weren't in the Air Force when you got married, when you had the big beard? What?
He was. I asked him to take leave to grow the beard before the wedding.
Oh, interesting. So you when you started dating, he had the mustache?
No, nope.
I did.
No, you didn't.
But listen, here's the thing. It's not going to last forever. He's going to get out of the military. He'll grow a beard again. Tighten it up for her. I'm doing it for my wife. Your wife takes precedent over those idiots. Come on.
Yes. And by those idiots, we mean the military-industrial complex. No, but I think there's an obvious solution here, which is you keep the mustache for now because it's a part of your like fraternal thing that you're doing where you guys fuck each other on base. And... But you shave the corner sides, because even though you want the mustache for Air Force culture,
get
you don't.
Those sides
this
up, boy.
Thing is too much for your wife. So this much is how much your wife is asking for, literally an inch. And so you give that, you give your wife the inch, and then she'll take all two of yours.
Most, you're being way too generous. Don't give me that much.
Okay, sorry.
And the best of it is, it'll look better if you do that. Truly, trust me.
He's like, yeah.
It looks dumb.
Wait until they. Grab me out of my bunk at 2 o'clock in the morning and beat me with soap in a sock.
No, I don't mean to say it looks dumb. You're so cute. You're both so cute, but like, she deserves it. And it's like, you want her to want to fuck you and kiss you.
Right. Uncle it's Sam's important. Not going to fuck you. Well, I guess he kind of did, but like, do it for her. I mean, a little bit. Just take it up an inch for her. That seems so obvious.
And you know what? Do it this weekend. All right. Bye, guys.
Randy and Ethan. And Ethan, thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And you really do look cute. I'm just on her side. All right.
All right. Well, we got a little more time.
I mean, I shouldn't talk, though, because I would like you to not have that haircut.
Well, you did live through mustache life with me, and you were really cool about it. You liked my mustache, didn't you?
That's only because, I did like it. It looked good on you.
Ethan, I looked it up when I grew a mustache out because I'd never had facial hair, and every style guide said the way to have a well-coiffed mustache was to put your finger here and shave here. So, I mean, it's like, what do I care? What, do I want the aesthetics of the Air Force? No, I want to
and
look cool.
And don't do the thing where it twirls up.
Never do the thing where it twirls up.
I mean, maybe someone could pull that off, but not
unless
Ethan.
You're in a period period piece or something like that.
That could work.
You know, another period.
Unless you're in another period.
Okay, we have time for one for our third couple, so I think we should just go ahead and bring them up.
Bring them up.
All right, put your hands together for Megan and Danny, ladies and gentlemen.
Manny, let's get up here, Manny. Or sorry,
hi guys.
Megan and Danny. Come on
Manny.
Up. Right. Wonder if the question cool is shirt. About the mullet. All right, Megan, Danny, how are you? Where'd you meet? What's your story?
We met through mutual friends. We've been together like 5 years and married for about one.
Cool.
Yeah.
How did you propose, Danny?
I did, yes.
How'd you do it?
Oh, no. Well, we also came to an agreement, so he proposed in a jokey way because we already said we were going to do it.
What was the joke?
I played a Borat clip and asked if she would be my wife.
You played my wife for her?
Oh,
look at
wow.
him, I had to say yes.
I did not think that a Turkish-American marriage of convenience would be not the least romantic thing I heard tonight. But the my wife takes it, it takes it. You guys win.
I already had said yes. But our issue is that I'm very social, he's quite shy, homebody, not like a shutter or anything, but we're just trying to balance it better as things are opening up. It hasn't really mattered the last few years. Because there hasn't been anything to do, but now I'm like, hey, there's a birthday party. Hey, there's a comedy show or, you know, a dance party.
A live
party
podcast or, so we can get you on stage for.
I mean, I'm not going to be able to ask him to do anything for about a month, so this is a big ask. But in general, hey, there's this going on in art shows, yada, yada. His first question is, do I have to go? And then I have to decide, am I going to force him to go or not? So just kind of balancing it better because I don't like to tell him what to do.
Well, the first thing I think we should all remember is that for like 2 years, we weren't doing anything and there was no pressure to do anything. And I know we all, I at least secretly long for those days in a way because like it just felt like there was less stress. And, you know, it was like we're all on this even playing field, you know, and now all of a sudden it's like it's not like that anymore. So you have to be a little easy on yourself because it was a collective traumatic experience that we all had and we're all coming out of it in our own way. And so, you know, if you were already reclusive before that, it could have even made you more, you know. So you just have to be a little easy on yourself first off, I think. Yeah. Second off, Mosh.
I'm still thinking. Reggie, what do you think of this? You're a very social person.
I am. I do. But, you know, I like my alone time, too. You know, it's like you got to have a good balance of like, oh, okay, I'm recharging. I'm not like overtaxing myself, overcommitting or whatever. So you're saying, so the issue, what's the crux of the issue?
The crux of the issue, well, preparing for this, I said, if I had my way, I'd go out and not like just like a dinner or, you know, a social thing 3-4 nights a week. And he said zero.
Oh, I see.
And also like, do I have to go? You shouldn't. You should try to get that out of your lexicon. I think that should not be, you know, you guys are in a new relationship and.
Yeah. And you learn a lot also, by the way, when you go out and you're with your partner in public, you learn so much more about them because they're more at ease. They're like they're operating in a different way than you're used to seeing them. So it broadens your understanding of them. I like going out with, I mean, not all the time, but like, you know, like when I do go out, it's fun because like, you know, you get to hang and see each other in different contexts and talk about some shit when you get home.
And also, like, how do you recharge? Like, I recharge alone. Moshe recharges, like, we've landed from a trip from Europe, and he's like, I'm driving to Palm Springs. My second cousin's friend is getting married. And I'm like, what? I would never do that. And that's, like, it's just, like, how he relaxes. And so it's, like, I know that's not something I'm going to do with him. But, like, his good friend is getting married, and I know the date 3 weeks in advance, and, like, you know, I'm going to go to that with him. So it's like choosing your things and like knowing you probably recharge how Moshe does in this social way. So it's like he shouldn't have to come to all of this, to everything. But there should be things socially that you can do together, don't you
think?
So
like pick and choose.
And also respecting him if his recharging. But your only mode, I don't think, can be home.
My first thought, Danny, is you need to, like, shut the fuck up. Like, just stop.
He keeps trying to talk.
It's like, at a certain point, the noise and just the constant talking.
Let's let Danny talk. He
Go
had
ahead,
his
Danny.
Mic up. What do you think?
Sorry.
Hell no.
I love Danny.
Danny, cool.
That's why my wife worked.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Oh, right. He couldn't even get the muster up the courage to say, will you marry me? It's like Sacha Baron Cohen clip, perhaps?
Yeah.
Danny, I have a question for you. 0 nights a week for how many weeks? Is it forever? For all time? Would you never like to go out again?
It's pretty minimal. I think when we go out to dinner, that's great. It's the two of us. I think when it's a larger social situation, that, you know, I definitely need to come home and recharge, and that takes longer. So it's not, you know, 0 is my preference, but I like to spend time with Megan. I like to spend time with Megan when do what she wants to do.
Yeah.
Do you have friends like that you like to hang out? I mean, not do you have friends, but like, do you have friends that you like to go out with and hang out with?
A bit, yeah.
Danny, no. When you first heard the news coming over from Wuhan, were you a little bit like, please, please be a global pandemic, please? Were you stoked through the pandemic? Like, this is the world I've been waiting for?
I did better than Megan did.
Right.
That's a great answer.
Okay, Megan, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Does Danny's social, because what this is it's social anxiety.
Yeah.
Right? Does his social, and you can answer this too, Dan, does Danny's social anxiety run the family? Does his anxiety make it so that you default to his homebody-ness most of the time?
No, I'll just go out without him, but like, we like being together. We have a lot of fun together. So sometimes I'm like, I just want my best friend there. Yeah. So I guess I'm do what Natasha does said is like pick and choose, like, okay, this is important. And then like, okay, you can skip that thing. But I just hate, again, being like, you have to.
Exactly.
Like,
you don't want to be like,
go? You do. Like, I'm like, I'm not the boss of you. So it might be the language of like, do I have to go? Yeah.
There's this product. that I do not represent, but I would love to, but it's called Feel Free, and you can buy them at health food stores. I would try one night when there's like kind of like a low-press hang that you have to go to and make sure that's like something like you kind of know some of the people, and try taking one of these, because I swear to Garsh, that might zoom you out a little bit within the context in real time. So when you're hanging out with people, you might actually see some new neural pathways, like ways to view the situation while you're there. It's totally true. I have a friend who was just like, she's mad at me because she's like, I'm spending so much money on this shit. But
is it drugs? Is it CBD?
It's kratom and kava. So the kava's,
yes and no.
The kava's calming. Yeah, yes, no. So it's like the kava's calming and then the kratom's euphoric, but it's just a little bit of kava. So it opens up. It's like, I call it herbal Prozac. But a lot of my friends who suffer anxiety, they immediately like, oh, I shifted into my comfortable self in a situation where normally I'd be terrified, which isn't a powerful feeling.
And I'll,
go ahead, please.
Well, it's just very interesting. This is very much like the last question. You know, she wants him to cut his mustache and he doesn't want to. I just feel like there is so much that we have to like give in a relationship, and it's hard, but it's like, you know, you have to be able to go out on your own and you have to be able to connect a little bit and make an effort, even though it's not really what you want to do.
And it's
like you have to kind of pay for the relationship.
Yeah, you have to, I wouldn't even say pay for it, but pay into it. I would say it's like you guys are creating this third thing. And I think, honestly, all three couples have been kind of the same. It's like somebody in the relationship has a comfort that the other person wants them to leave a bit to come towards them, just to take a step towards them to make them feel seen too. And I don't think you're being selfish, Danny. I think is it fair to say that you have social anxiety?
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't mean to be clear.
Yeah. I can feel it. In a completely compassionate way, because when I see it, I understand. That's a difficult thing. It's not like, I just don't want to go out. That's a different thing.
Your friends are assholes.
Yeah, your friends are like stupid. Yeah. I just think everyone's stupid, and I'm just not. But like, I think there's also sometimes when there are activities that you can do in groups that are really cool that give you like a thing, or you know,
something to focus on, yeah. Like even an escape room, or I don't know, whatever you guys are into, like not just going to a bar. Like maybe you don't like going to a restaurant with 6 of her friends or going to a bar with 6 of her friends. Like, but maybe you would like going to see a cool movie and everyone talk about it after, or a cool concert, or, you know, something where you could zone in and zone out.
Yeah, because I want to give some compassion to what you're dealing with, Danny. This isn't something unbelievably easy to do to make your partner feel loved that actually would be beneficial to you and is actually stupid not to do, like shaving your mustache or something like that. Like, this is you confronting a demon. You're being asked to confront a demon of yours in order to pay into the relationship, right? I love you, Ethan. But you know, I think that, like, what do you like to do other than stay home with your wife? What do you like to do? What are activities that you enjoy?
Activities out of the house?
Yeah, out of the house. Something
non-house.
So there's got to be something. Or what do you? Okay, let me rephrase
just
the question.
To read
what do you
a
hate?
Lot.
What do you hate the least? Outside of the house.
Yeah, when we go out to dinner or a movie or something that's, I think I enjoy activities, but it's with Megan. Exclusively is definitely.
Yeah, I get that.
I have a challenge.
I have a challenge. I think. Tell me if you guys agree with this. I have a challenge for both of you. Megan, I think that you should stop inviting him to everything. No. I don't mean I think you should stop inviting him altogether.
Yeah.
I mean I think you should stop inviting him to everything.
Okay.
Because that is like you know that's he doesn't want to come and it becomes this like overwhelming thing. Another thing. That thing. Do I have to go to that thing? And then this whole conversation becomes, do I have to go to that? If you only invited him to the things you really wanted him to come to, and then you guys had an agree, you talked about that. When I invite you, I mean I really want you there. Then Danny could go, okay, I'm going to fucking do it, and I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to do it for her, right? That I think that could be really powerful. And then Danny, so that, then you could stop having this conversation where you feel like she's like, come, come. And you're like, do I have to? Or do I have to? You never have to have that conversation again because every time she says, would you like to come? The answer is, yeah, you fucking have to, right? My second thought, Danny, is for you to find, this is a challenge for you. I don't know if you'll be able to do it. But you arrange an outing with not just you and Megan. You and Megan and one of her friends. Go to a movie. It's not going to be that terrible.
Not a movie or something.
Just something where you're sitting there and you don't have to even. But it's like I feel like the physical act of writing the email. Hey, I'd love to get together.
Or
with
maybe
you.
One of his friends.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be one of her friends.
Whatever it is, you get out of the house and it's a Danny motivated plan. Even though you're going to hate it, just to be like, I do this for you, Megan. This one's for you. Much like Harry, do something for Megan.
Yeah.
I will say, you'll appreciate that the other Sketchfest event we're going to, he picked out next week, is a Star Trek podcast. Oh, so I'm going cool. for him to
see,
that.
See, okay.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And here's the exciting part. This is the exciting part of this. This is actually a fun thing to figure out because you could make sick gains and you could make amazing gains as well. It's like, I think you're probably a deep thinking, hypersensitive person and your thinking process gets in the way of you being able to feel like you have the confidence to be open in certain situations. But I think if you had something to focus on intellectually with other people, and you included, of course, but like in your passion, having that the comfort of like easing into a conversation about things that really ignite your mind in a small, no pressure situation, I think you can slowly start to undo that knot. It's right now, it's like really tight, but you got just start to little centimeters by centimeters, you can open up a little bit. And it's exciting because like you obviously have a lot to offer. You think about a lot of stuff, so you should share that.
Yep. Like Danny, you'll never be like Megan. That's not in your DNA. You won't. You'll never be that. You'll never. It's who I am too. I'm just like you, Megan. I like to go out and be around people that recharges me. You'll never be that. But you can be a little bit less anxious about it. I think that's possible. And then Megan, I think, because I think it's not fair just to give Danny challenges because you have to pay the other opposite direction. I'm sure you guys stay home a lot by default. But I think it would be nice for you to say like, you know what? Tuesday nights, I don't go out. Like even I'm not saying you go out every night, but to make something that like this night is the night that I don't go out that belongs to Danny and we stay home or we're gonna do a week
or plan it ahead of time.
Yeah,
or
let's
whatever.
Do a vacation where we don't. I don't know. I'll come up with a term for it. Like a staycation would be cool. Like you know what I'm saying?
That is
don't
a
invent shit.
Great term.
Oh yeah, maybe I'll market it or whatever. But I think like you also you know, because so it doesn't become pathologized Danny hour, right? Like, oh, Danny doesn't want to come out, and I'm the normal one that likes to go out, but once in a while we'll stay home if I don't have anything to do. If it's also like, oh, I pay into Danny too. I go to Danny's world also, and I stay home with Danny. I think that you guys will meet in the middle, and both of you will, you go out a little teeny bit less, you come out a little teeny bit more, and both of you stay your individual selves. I think that that will make for a long and healthy, loving relationship.
All right, well, good luck
to
you.
Thank you.
And Danny, thank you for coming up on stage. This must have been very hard for you. Let's give him a round of applause. And hey, if you didn't go out tonight, you wouldn't have a theater full of people clapping for you. So they are so cute.
Danny's like, I'm never fucking leaving the house again. Well, I mean, we've come to the end of our show.
That is interesting that all those couples were very similar.
Balance.
Yeah, well, balance. Yeah, I think each one of them needed to like just let go of a rein a little bit.
It's so hard.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess we have a couple more minutes. Does anybody have a question in the audience that they want to ask? Anybody want to scream one out? Maybe for Reggie or for us or for anybody?
Oh, I'm already married to Satan. So. But thank you. I'm very flattered.
All right. Anybody else have a question before we say goodnight? Shout it out.
Emotionally unstuck. Ooh, gosh. Depends on which emotion.
Kratom.
Kratom or kava or the combination. Drugs do, they are a thing, but I try to check myself to make sure I'm not using them as an escape. I like to think of them as like levers that kind of shift your perspective for a moment to kind of remind you of a healthier state. However, in a non-drug state, I would say like just physical activity. It really, like, swear to God, like if you're like, oh, I feel, and then you just do 20 push-ups, even if you can't do push-ups or whatever, just like try to do them. I swear, like it's anything to break the cycle, because when you're in those things, it's a cycle that you feel like you can't get out of, and then you actually start to get addicted to it. So you get addicted to the cycle, and it just grows in intensity. But really, you just need to shift it, turn it into a spiral, and continue to expand outward.
All right, any other? Yeah,
that's
go ahead.
Good.
Hey, why am I in the friend zone?
Ooh. All right.
Wait, is
might that be the mustache.
Right, are you an Air Force guy, too?
Oh.
Yours is actually cut correctly.
Yeah, he does look like a mustache guy.
Wait, the problem with the friend zone is that people who use the term friend zone automatically put themselves in the friend zone. Why are you always in the friend zone? What do you mean by that? He's great with women. We can tell by the use of the term friend zone.
You need to like harness your dashing side.
Right.
Try to be a little.
The opposite of your energy right now. Like the opposite, whatever that is. Don't do that. The fuck does that mean, bitch? Dashing as fuck.
Oh God. I mean. Yeah, I mean, friend zone's tough because it's like some of it is like it's either awkwardness or an inability to be vulnerable. It's either of those.
What the fuck does that mean, Reggie?
Hey, man. Oh, avocado. No.
So maybe he could try to be a little more vulnerable.
I mean,
do you know what that means?
Also, like you gotta feel your sexiness. You know what I mean? It's like you gotta be in tune with like, I'm feeling sexy right now, and I'm really getting along with this person. Maybe something can happen, but I'm gonna leave myself a little bit open to those energies, and maybe they'll pick up on it, and that's cool, and hopefully they'll consent to that, and that's all really great. There's a thing like where you're kind of available to it. You know, you gotta be available to imagining yourself with a person that you find attractive in a way that feels more sensual.
And never say to them, I'm always in the friends, you know, like don't.
Yeah, you're reinforcing.
I mean, that's obvious, but I don't know what you think is normal, so I'm just letting you know. Don't ever say that.
Do Do you remember earlier when Reggie was talking to you? You remember that just now? That's what dashing looks like. Reggie Watts, ladies and gentlemen. The most dashing man in comedy. And Natasha Leggero, my
thank
lovely
wife.
Thank you guys
wife. For coming.
I love you.
Moshe Kasher.
Good night.
Moshe Kasher.
For listening. We love you, honeymooners. We love you, San Francisco. Thank you, Sketchfest. Good night.